You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on August 29th, 2024. And this week we're talking about churches facing a decrease in giving. And one of the major factors that is leading to this is the high rate of inflation that we are currently experiencing in this country. Now, this is affecting every household, so it makes sense that it would also affect churches that depend upon their members giving on the first day of the week in order to raise funds to do their work. So we're going to talk about a few things that churches ought to do in light of this reality. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/082924. Now for our story this week. Inflation in America. Churches report decrease in giving. From CBN News. From the grocery checkout line to the gas pump and now the church pew, Americans are closely watching what they spend, and it's putting some churches in a bind. Churches are in some instances struggling, Robert Blair with Ministry Brands told CBN News. They're not keeping up with inflation. Donations are down. In some instances, attendance is down. Ministry Brands' latest study shows charitable giving in 2023 failed to keep up with inflation, with 55% of churches seeing a decrease in giving. This hit smallest churches the hardest, with only 36% reporting an increase. On top of that, cash and check donations dropped for 33% of all churches included in the study. Now, we talked about inflation in a previous episode about 8 months ago, and I'll link to that in the show notes. In that episode, we primarily focused on what to do as individuals. But what about in our local churches? The reality that many churches are facing is that giving is down, and this is due, at least in part, to inflation. So, what can churches do about this? There are a few points I want us to consider. Number one, churches need to teach about giving. In our episode a few weeks ago about the question on tithing, we talked about the giving that we are to do and how to determine the amount to give. And I'm not going to go over those points again here in this episode, but if you're interested in listening to that discussion and haven't heard it already, the link to that episode will be in the show notes. But that was, again, from the perspective of the individual. But what about for a church? From the perspective of a local church, what can they do? Well, the church still needs to teach about the responsibility that Christians have to give as they've been prospered. They may be limited and, of necessity, have to give less, but don't neglect teaching about giving, lest some brethren begin to think that, well, things are just so bad that we don't have to give anything. Remember the example of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul said, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." They gave something, even when it was difficult to give anything. They could have tried to justify giving nothing, but they didn't. They went above and beyond what even the Apostle Paul expected of them. We can encourage brethren to do this as well. And that's a responsibility churches have in teaching their members of their duty as Christians. Number two, churches need to exercise good stewardship. We often talk about the collection as being the Lord's money, and that is a good way to think about it. It is the money that we can use to do the Lord's work, so we need to make the most of it and not waste it. Now, we should be doing this at all times anyway, but it is even more critical when giving is more limited. Remember that we are responsible to do what we are able to do, not what we are unable to do. In talking about giving, Paul said this to the Corinthians, For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Now, this principle applies to churches as well. Just as the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, they were faithful in doing what they could despite having, as the Lord said, a little power. They were faithful in doing what they could do. Now, given the current situation, our churches may not be able to do everything that they did before, whether it's gospel meetings or supporting preachers or things like that. And we may not like the idea of cutting back on things like that. But we need to remember that God judges according to our ability and not our inability. Number three, what churches need to do in a situation like this is to look ahead. If cuts do need to be made because church simply doesn't have the resources in order to do the work that it was doing previously, we should not be resigned to that being a permanent reality. Hopefully, it is just a season, just like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about different seasons that exist in life, that there's a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, and on in that chapter. Well, in this case, this could be a season of frugality and saving, and then another season may be coming later where we can use the abundance that we have to the glory of God. So look ahead to when the church will be able to do more, and then be ready for that. And this idea of readiness for a future work is suggested by Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians about that giving that they were to be doing. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 5, it says, "So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness." When the time was right, Paul wanted them to be ready to do the work that they had planned to do, that they promised to do. They were not to be unprepared. Same is true for us. If we can make plans and look ahead to see what we might be able to do, be prepared for that. Make preparations now to do the work that maybe we can't do yet, but we might be able to do in the future. And while we're doing that, while we're making those plans and making those preparations, we can use this transition period, if we are having to cut back for a little while, use that transition period as an opportunity to consider what might be most beneficial and expedient to be done moving forward. And this may be different from what your congregation has traditionally done, as long as what you are planning to do is still authorized in the New Testament. But what we do moving forward may look different than what we did in the past. Instead of having a one-week-long gospel meeting like many churches have, maybe it would make more sense for your congregation to replace it with a summer series or a winter series. I've heard churches doing things like that. Maybe it would make sense. Maybe it wouldn't, but that's something to consider. Instead of running ads in the newspaper to try to get people interested in or aware of your church and maybe attending services or reading articles that you might be putting out, maybe instead of running ads in the newspaper that is seen by a small and shrinking percentage of people in your community, maybe start running ads on Facebook, which is likely to be used by maybe 3/4 of the people in your community. Maybe instead of supporting several preachers in different locations, it might make sense for your congregation to support a second preacher working in that location with your group. Or maybe the other way around. Maybe you have more than one preacher and it would make sense just to have one evangelist working with you, and then you can support preachers in other locations more than what you've already been doing. Those are just some ideas. But the point is to be thinking that if we have to pull back for a time on what the church is involved in, then look ahead to the time when we can be doing more and be thinking, when we're doing more, should we be doing what we had always done before? Or maybe is there a better way to make use of the resources that we have to do the work that God has called the church to do? And number four, we need to recognize how this situation affects preachers. Now, of course, some of the things we're going to talk about here on this point would apply to more people than just preachers. But I'm focusing on preachers here because churches may be supporting preachers either locally or in other places in order to do their work. Because of the current economic situation, they may have to start making tents as Paul did if they haven't already started doing that. Again, not just preachers are doing this, everyone is feeling the pinch of inflation. But this is something that some preachers may need to start doing or start doing more of. And I've written several articles over the years on the Plain Bible Teaching website about how preachers need to be willing to work to support themselves when necessary. The Apostle Paul did this on multiple occasions. One example he talked about when he met with the elders from the church at Ephesus, he said, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me." Now, I don't want to get too much into the preacher's responsibility here in this episode, but I will have some links in the show notes to some articles that I've written on the responsibility of preachers to work to support themselves when that is necessary. But instead, what I want to focus on here is the church's responsibility. For example, you may be in a congregation that is able to provide full support for a preacher, whatever that means where you are. Provide full support for a man to do the work of a preacher in that location. However, because of the current situation, due to inflation or other factors, you may be providing the same amount of support, but that amount is no longer enough for him to be able to provide for his family. And because of the situation with giving, you may not be able to provide any more support than you already are. Well, in that case, that preacher has two options. One, he could leave and go somewhere else. Or two, he could engage in some type of secular work in order to provide for his family in addition to the preaching work that he is doing. And in most cases, I believe it's better for the congregation if he can stay. But that's going to mean doing some type of secular work, whether full-time or part-time, in order to make ends meet. But even though I think this is better in most cases for the congregation that this is done, that doesn't mean there aren't trade-offs. Of necessity, his time is going to be more limited. Remember the example of Paul when he was preaching in Corinth. After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. While Paul worked making tents, he preached every Sabbath. Then after Silas and Timothy arrived with monetary support for him, as Philippians 4, 15 and 16 suggests, he was able to devote all of his time to preaching. So a preacher who has to work a secular job simply does not have time to do everything that he might want to do in the Lord's work. But also, he won't have the time to do everything that you might expect him to be doing. So what does that mean for churches and how they treat preachers? Well, first, they need to be understanding. Recognize that what he is doing, he's doing out of necessity. So if that is a situation with a preacher that is working with your congregation and he's having to work now, be sympathetic. Don't be critical of that. But it also means recognizing that he might not be available at all times like maybe he was before. So be understanding of that. Second, be cooperative. In reality, we should be working together anyway. The church functions best when each individual part of the body is working together, as Ephesians 4 verse 16 says. So maybe others can help in teaching Bible classes, or give a sermon from time to time, or visit people in the hospital, which really is probably more of the work of the elders than the preacher, but that's another topic for another time, perhaps. But if a preacher's time is limited, see who else can be involved in various parts of the work. This isn't just helpful for the overworked preacher. It's beneficial for everyone in the congregation. So in summary, whether our country finds an economic or political solution to the current problem of inflation soon or not, the reality is that we need to deal with it. So for churches, that may mean carrying out the Lord's work with fewer resources than we did before. That may be challenging, but we can do it. So let's stay committed to doing the Lord's work together in our local churches, even if that means we have to make adjustments on account of the current financial situation. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this discussion to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, several that I mentioned throughout the episode, you can find those at the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/08-29-24. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who'd be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.